This lesson's on kindness, but I find you very kind, okay? So don't take it personal. But there's a lot of problems in the world with people being kind. So let's learn something from this study. Thanks for the opportunity to bring together the lesson on kindness, and we pray that you'll find this meaningful and find it scriptural and present the Word of God about how Christians, or anybody actually, should know Bible kindness. But I want to draw from the Bible all this about Bible kindness. As I said, you're kind in this congregation, and I could name some people, but I won't. But not everyone in the world is kind, isn't that right? I mean, you've seen plenty of people who they need a lesson. I've been thinking about how times have changed in regard to showing kindness, and it's an interesting word, and we're going to look at that just briefly here, and I'll just go ahead and pull up this slide. I want to show the different shades of kindness and the different colors. When Brother Klee was here, he used the word, he found the Beatitudes, and on one night, the seventh Beatitude, which was mercy and merciful. So that's part of this understanding of kindness, too. So there are many synonyms, and I want you to look at some of those. There's loving kindness, and there's goodness, and divine favor, and grace, and divine mercy, all important. Everyone knows grace and amazing grace with the song. And grace is fine. It's unmerited favor, God, to people who are in need. And many people in this world are in need. They're sinful, and they need God to come into their lives. So this is the reason that I chose this, because I've seen too much unkindness in the world, not in the congregation that we're here, but in the world. And if you'll take this information, and maybe you can utilize it to help others as we go through this. Anyway, mercy, these are synonyms. Mercy is one he mentioned, and how he described it. He actually used the word mercy equals kindness. And if you remember that night, he spoke on that beatitude. So, blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. Mercy is a synonym for kindness, and blessed are merciful, for they will receive mercy, benevolence, goodness, grace. There's so many synonyms. I can name them all. You want me to? Okay. Affection, benevolence, grace, hospitality, courtesy, humanity, decency, forbearance, sweetness, goodness, sympathy, tenderness, tolerance. There's so many of them. So is that what we want to, you know, emulate in the world? I think so. I think this is what the Bible's saying. Look at these ideas that we're going to express in Galatians 5 and other places, and think about the fruit of the Spirit, and think about all those ideas as we go through this lesson. So I have objectives. I have objectives to demonstrate in this presentation what the Bible, what Bible kindness is, okay, and how Christians should show it, with an aim to teach kindness by application to us and to our children. I haven't excluded the children tonight. I have put them in there. So it's a family lesson. Three role models that I've chosen here. King David, which we read the first verse. I should have let him read it all, but I'm going to read it. We're going to all read it in chapter 9, in verse 1 through 10. The role models of kindness in the Bible I've chosen here are King David in 2 Samuel 9. And this one also, Klee mentioned, the Good Samaritan. I'm going to read that too. because it shows compassion, kindness, goodness. And then Jesus healing the sick. We're going to mention what he did while he was on earth, incarnate. Healing the sick, feeding the hungry, teaching the people, caring for the widow, and other examples. So I'm going to get into this in a second here, and then we'll read chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. But I'm going to give you kind of a summary here, and this story of King David, everybody says yes, who has assumed the throne after Saul's death, and by tradition should exterminate the rest of the guys. He should exterminate all those other previous dynasty people. But David, a man after God's own heart, chose not to kill Saul when he had the opportunity in the cave and made a covenant with Saul and Jonathan not to kill their descendants when he became king. And this is where one of the acts of kindness is seen in our presentation. And we'll read that shortly about now. Okay. Read along with me. I think everyone can see that. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. It is Ziba. I looked at the self-pronouncing Bible. It's Ziba. And they summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive that is from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, There is a guy, a son of Jonathan." And then I'm going to give you a description. He's lame. He's disabled. You might not want him. Think about it. "But where is he?" the king said without hesitation. Ziba answered, "He's at the house of Maacah, son of Amiel, in Lodebar." Now, Lodebar means low. It means no pasture land. So the guy's hiding out in a very barren place. He's nice, but he's hiding out. He's protecting his life. So King David had him brought to Lodebar from the house of Maacah, son of Amiel. When this is the tongue twister here. All of you can say this three times really fast. Mephibosheth. That you get that down and not mess it up. That's a pretty good word there. Son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, he came to David, bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, are you?" And he said, "At your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid." He's afraid. Why is he afraid? I just said they're going to exterminate everybody. He's afraid. David said, "For I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan." Unfortunately, Jonathan's dead and Saul's dead. "I'll restore you to all the land that belongs to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? This is the spiritual application. You will always eat at God's table. And you will find comfort in all of this. And we'll get to that in a minute. Mephibosheth bowed. I don't know how that got bowed down. "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" That's an interesting expression, isn't it? How low can you go? How deprecating this word is, like he didn't have any life. He didn't have any real closeness to anybody. "That you should notice a dead dog like me." Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him. Bring in the crops so that your master's grandson," the guy we're talking about, "may be provided for. And Mephibosheth's grandson of your master will always eat at my table." Another spiritual application that we're going to get to. But here's the physical story. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Beautiful story. I looked up the word kindness, and it comes out to be Christotes, and it's found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It's agape, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Boil it down to it's charity. Charity. So, kindness. The word kindness and its variations. It's mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. Just kindness itself. Kind is mentioned 400 times. So there's a lot of use of that word. It's an important concept in Christianity. It has a variety of meanings. And the most basic definition of kindness is being good and doing no harm. This includes being friendly, helpful, like a lot of you are, and considerate to others and how you treat others. I like the idea of talking about behaviors in Christianity because a lot of people think knowledge is all important, and I know the Bible, but how's your behavior? So we want to certainly look at some of that. So I thought about that. Christian behaviors, they unify us. They unify us. These guys are up high. So kindness is an act of charity, as I said, virtue or encouragement of others. Like a thread that's woven into a garment, we should look for examples in the Bible about how to show kindness. And of course, every time someone preaches, they give you a scripture that talks about kindness, and that's great. If you turn to Colossians 3:12, or just read this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. That's exactly the expression. Clothe yourselves with compassion. And there's that word, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The second example I'll read, and I'll go back and talk about David. David's a great character in the Bible, isn't he? We'll go back and talk about it, but we're also going to read this story of the Good Samaritan. Remember, Clee read that, and I thought he was tiptoeing around my lesson, but anyway, it worked out. I told him that. Okay, we find this next example of kindness in your Bible, Luke 10:30-35. The example is best known as the model for kindness and compassion. Everyone can see compassion in this, can't we? I mean, you've read this all your life as children and adults. It's important. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, not very well liked among the Jews, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity, compassion, on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Innkeeper, look after him. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you might have. Good, great story. Compassion. It's a Shawnee Mission statue. Anyway, it brings to my mind the importance of these ideas of compassion, goodness, and kindness. So that's the second story. I'll save the third story, which deals with God's and Jesus Christ's compassion and in their kindness a little later. But that's the one that will be the ultimate kindness. So everybody knows what kindness is. You know what unkindness is? Have you seen that lately? Unkindness? Anybody beating anybody up? Anybody in school? Anybody in school saying bad things like your word? That's not kind. That's rude. So think about it. What is unkindness? Today, judging others seems to be an activity practiced by far too many in the world. And I'll tell you where it's happening. Unkindness isn't new. Humans have been unkind to each other from the beginning. Today, the ease and the speed and the ability on the computer to be secretive, incognito, and pass judgments on social media and criticisms of others is unprecedented. I'm a Christian, but I don't think that's bad. The pen is mightier than the sword, Edward Bulwer Lytton said in 1839. It is. You can destroy people with your pen. Unkindness, I'm going to deal with a few more times. Some example. Have you ever seen someone breaking a line in events? Okay, that's rudeness, you say. Well, it's unkind. Treating someone unfairly, being rude. Hurting people is the ultimate act of unkindness, or being unkind is hurting someone. We've all done it. But the Bible reminds us, don't be that way. I think the worst one I've seen is people driving. They don't think that's the unkindness, the way they drive or what they do and when they're driving. Children, this is you. What about at school? Do you have any problems with unkindness at school? Like she's so or he's so. You know, you put your unkindness word in there. And shouldn't happen, but it does. And the way it starts is from the beginning, and I'll talk about that in a second. In marriage, we can say unkind words in our marriage. Breaking on the line, okay. Unkindness is what we see. This is another behavior, and I'm going to talk about the kindness part too, but unkindness has to be in there. You need an opposite understanding and definition. In our world, why do people act so unkind? Not an easy answer. Some people are unkind because they were hurt too in the past and are still holding on to that pain. This means they have not learned to be empathetic and understanding. So I'll move on to the third example. And then we'll get back to David a little bit. The kindness of Christ or God. Jesus gives us some examples of his acts of kindness in the New Testament. Healing the sick, feeding the hungry, teaching the people, caring for the widow, loving and defending children. Jesus lived with perfect kindness. So he is a model for us to look at and say, oh, okay, that sure looks like compassion. That sure looks like kindness. That is definitely mercy. So these are things that we, younger the better, but learning. But as we get older, we have to remember Christ has said these things to everyone who was a Christian. So that third example, I will dwell on that a little bit. It deals with kindness of God and by Jesus incarnate, our Savior. Now I want to think about David. David showed that mercy to Jonathan's son. And Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son, and he was hiding out because he knew that it's customary to exterminate the last, to exterminate any remainder of people connected to a new king coming in, old king going out. So they knew, most people knew, you're going to be exterminated. But David didn't do it. So that's the important part. That's the love. That's the father's love. And to think about that and meditate upon it is good. There's a lot to be read in that, you know, to think about in that story. It would take a while. So, is this thing on? Okay. This third example deals with the kindness of God, and we'll deal with that one right now. The greatest act of kindness to humanity was to sacrifice, was Jesus to sacrifice his life for you and me. You say it every time you get the Lord's Supper. We say it every time we deal with the cross. It's the sacrificial lamb. It's Christ. His kindness was first, and this is where we see him on the cross, and it's perfect for the Lord's Supper. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that not kindness? Is that not sacrifice? I wanted to mention, you know, kindness could be called a virtue, showing high moral standards. Virtues are how we practice and demonstrate behavior or character of Jesus. Kindness, goodness, you're going to hear that a lot, but we'll get to something else here. Disciples of Christ are kind. That is the model we're looking at. Now, just a brief statement about our children and what they should be taught as they're growing up. They should be taught kindness, and you're doing that, and it's some of the kindest kids here. But it's good to review and to think about the importance of this. So these kids in school, that's where you see a lot of unkindness. But you're not there with the kids, but it goes on. It's always gone on. Modeling kindness for children. They need parents. They really need teachers and other adults to model kindness. Some ways parents can encourage kindness in children are teach them to do unto others as they want done to them. That's something we've heard all of our lives from childhood on. And it means a lot. It matters a lot, Matthew 7:12. That's the beginning, isn't it? Walk a mile in my shoes. Get in the habit of saying some things that are positive, children, or parents teaching their children, sort of things that will make someone feel good rather than sad. Teach them to hold their tongue when they have a negative opinion about someone or something. You don't have to say everything in your mouth about something. And this happens with kids at school. It's not even bullying. It's before you get to bullying, it's just that way people talk. If you can't say something nice, remember your mother might have said that. That's important, though. If you can't say something nice, you can fill in the blanks. Don't say anything at all. It's good to get kids in the habit of being friendly and finding something nice to say to someone. That said, we should know the basics of how to protect our kids from strangers' awareness and acquaintance danger. That's important as you're teaching anyway, and it should know what to do if they ever get lost. Those are all important parts of parenting. Let your child see you with examples of kindness. Your neighbor, they're with you at your neighbor's house, and you're saying nice things and showing them what kindness is. You're carrying something over to the neighbor. You're doing something for the neighbor. someone at the checkout counter at the store, thank you, please, thank you, or the neighbor next door. Teaching good manners, and I'm sure you're doing that, but I'm reminding everyone that this is in the Bible, such as respect for others, greeting people properly, speaking to people in a polite way. It's important in raising a child who's kind. You will reap the benefit of having polite children in your home. We all have learned to say thank you and please. That's good. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Also, with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, our God, forgave you. Keep this in mind as we, you know, get closer to the end. Now, there's some application for adults. You may not like them, but you may not have to do them, but they're ideas, so smile more. You may not want to do that, but smile more and compliment more. And help out where you can. Here, there, everywhere. Somebody won't like this. Donate blood. It's a kind act, though. Saving lives. One unit of your blood. I've given it before. Anyway, it's important to have blood for saving lives. It's an act of kindness, whether you want to do it or not. Giving your clothes and food to a food bank is just general things. Give to save lives, as I said. Here's one. You might like to give to a reputable charity or benevolence. That is kind. The whole word benevolence is about kindness. Give something to spread the gospel. Give it to someone who is spreading the gospel, and we do that here. But individually, think about giving to a cause. Maybe it's Sacred Selections or legitimate charity, reputable charity. You can find out, and you can find out. I give to Doctors Without Borders occasionally. So that's something that I know it's being helpful to people, and it's reputable. Volunteer your time in this congregation. There are other ideas you have, and I'd love to have you write those down on paper. Help a needy saint or anyone that can't get out to do their lawn, the snow and ice removal. That happens every winter. Ask them. Don't wait for them to ask you. Help. Be helpful. Forgive others, especially those hurt feelings. There are a lot of those running around, hurt feelings, and they're personified. Oh, that's hurt feeling. That's a hurt feeling. So work on it. Forgive those hurt feelings, certainly if you think you're the cause. Be humble and kind. That's a song, a country song, isn't it? Be humble and kind, especially when it's difficult. And this was an interesting thing that came around a couple of years ago, two or three years ago. Pay it forward. What does that mean? It means that someone gave me something, I have to give that same person something back. No, that means someone who hasn't given, you know, someone gives me something, but I go and give it to someone else. I give them some care or some courtesy, some kindness to someone else, and I don't have to make myself known. I did it. No, just be kind in that way, and things will work out. Okay, coming down to this, Jesus was perfectly selfless in everything he did. Kindness was his lifestyle. Read it in the Bible. He demonstrated his love for the entirety of humanity. Christ is the perfect role model of kindness. Everyone knows that. But Galatians 5, 13 through 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Clea also mentioned that one. So I said we tiptoed around that same idea. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you will be destroyed by each other. So I'm not saying that that is a problem here. I'm saying that it is a problem in the world, and we are touched by the world. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies. Do not do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Lend to them without expecting anything back. That's the important thing. A lot of people want to lend. I've done this a lot, by the way. I've lended a lot of money to people who they have no idea. They have no plan to pay me back. Probably kids, okay? You just have to suck it up and think about this. Lend without expecting anything in return. That's God's idea. You will be children of God because he's kind and ungrateful and wicked. Be kind to the ungrateful and wicked. I'm sorry. Even when it's difficult, that's the one that always bothers everybody. Even when it's difficult. Now, we're coming down to this idea of salvation. A lot of this is in that story with Mephibosheth. I have to say that real quietly and quickly. I've changed the P to an F so I can say it better. So he, as you see, he was down there in that barren place called Lodabar, and he was hiding out, and a lot of people today are hiding out from God. They're hiding. They don't want to get involved. You may not have to do this and this and this. You're not ready. You're just not ready. Salvation comes from all the things that we're talking about here. The story of the Bible is the story of God and Jesus saving us from our sin. The story of our creation is also the God of our salvation, the God of our creation, the God of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10, for it was fitting that he from whom, by whom all things exist, in being many sons, bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Sacrificial. Here's a question. Anybody here separated from Christ the King, as was this man and David? He thought he was going to be killed. He was, I don't want to go to that guy, the king. He's a king, and he's the Lord. He's important. And he's asking me to come to the house. I think he's going to decapitate me. He's going to kill me. No. Once he got there, he said, is there anyone I can show kindness to? Yeah. He thought about Jonathan's son. You can show kindness to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And he's crippled, though, and, you know, Ziba said, he's kind of crippled. I don't know if you'd like to see him in your kingdom. I mean, he's hobbling, and he's limping. But the king wanted him. The king said, come to me. Hide no more. Are you waffling as a person here tonight who's either out of touch and not reconciled with God, or a sinner? Are you waffling? You got some ideas? Oh, I kind of like to do this. I'd like to make a change. Will you accept the kindness of God in your life? So, Christ draws us to repentance through his kindness. I think I made that clear. I used that word kindness way too many times. Christ was kind to everyone, even if they didn't deserve it. He turned no one away, and by shedding of his blood, which we have the Lord's Supper here, by the shedding of his blood on the cross, he demonstrated his love for the entire world, all of humanity, through the ultimate act of kindness. Like David, he's showing that kindness. Sinners are mortals, like Mephibosheth, and have been wounded and crippled. Like David did for Mephibosheth, God has honored and blessed us with the promise of eternal life, inviting us to his table, to the feast. That song, Come to the Feast, that idea. His table, his kingdom forever. This man had a place with David at his table. You're one of mine. You are adopted. You're right in here. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thought. And that's possible for anybody who has not accepted Christ in their lives. They don't have the merit. They don't deserve it. They don't have anything that would put them in that position except the unmerited favor, the grace of God. In this case, for Jesus' sake, the kindness of Christ then, I'm wrapping it up, the cross of Christ is where the spiritual part comes in. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? If you're going the wrong way in life, and that would be something you would decide, if, don't put it off tonight. Turn around. Go a new way. Christ said, I'm the way. That's unwritten. I mean, that's seen on a signboard and going to Topeka. I am the way. Christ is saying, I am the way. You don't have to worry about getting lost. There's no other way. Start a Bible study today. You know, in the past, I've seen people come and just want to be baptized in water because it's just like they were thinking about, I want to take communion because it's a sacrament. But this is important. Christ is the way, and if you're interested, if you're truly interested, then you need to start a Bible study with someone. You need to start reading the Bible and find out what's going on. Make Christ your new way of living. What a beautiful picture of God's kindness. It's intended to lead us to repentance. That's what the Bible said. Kindness of God is intended to lead us to repentance. And he's not wishing that any should perish. The riches of his kindness leads us to run from sin. When you think about temptation and sins in your life, maybe you think of sins you've been indulging in the past, your drug addiction, your sexual impropriety, sins you're guilty of, things you have said, things you are neglected to do. So you say, well, I repent. You want to be happy and at peace with God? It's time to change your life. Give it some thought. Talk to someone about how to change if you're truly interested. You've got to have that desire to change or desire to want to serve God. And it's important. Begin today as we stand for the selected song. Before we stand, though, I have one more slide that Wayne published in Eternal, in his magazine, or whatever it's called, bulletin. Grace doesn't not save you if you don't hear it, right? There's no way to hear it unless you look at it and start thinking about it. If you don't have a preacher to preach, you know, if you don't hear it, grace can't save you. Grace is wonderful. It's unmerited favor from God. But if you refuse to obey, it can't save you. If you do not repent, and a lot of people say, I don't want to repent. I kind of like what I'm doing. If you don't repent, it's not for you. Excuse willful sin. the idea of excusing willful sin, it's nothing. I've got a few more. So God allowed his only son to die on the cross to save the world, but he didn't deserve such favor. But he's still seeking those with their spiritual disability, like Mephibosheth. Their depravity, their lost, sinful condition. Are you hiding from God? It kind of looks like it. Broken, fearful, and confused. The heavenly King, Jesus, is waiting at the table like King David to welcome you. And the takeaway tonight, what are you going to take home with you? Hopefully you'll take all this and think about it. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. On the cross, he said that. So if we stand and sing this closing song, I appreciate the time. Thank you.